This is Captain G. Lester Steinhoff. The date is November 4th, 1976. Yesterday I met with Colonel Dookie Jones, a past executive secretary of the Wisconsin Department ROA, in his basement. And we're going to reminisce a little bit about the past. Duke, I noticed yesterday there was a lot of mementos all over your basement. Can you tell us about that, or about those mementos?
Be pleased to, Les. The relics, clippings, photos, and other items are from 1917 through 1975. And of course, most of 1976. Through to include World War I, II, and Korea. Now, I enlisted May 6, 1917 at Fort Logan, Colorado. Home address then was Altus, Oklahoma. My first unit assignment was with Company L, 16th Infantry, which was doing Mexican border duty at the Smelters in El Paso, Texas. We were soon to become a part of the 1st Division, and in 1 month from the time we were off for France. It was then by train to Port Hoboken, to be exact, and on June the 14th, we took passage on the Saratoga, a New Orleans cattle boat. Some of the chips, cow chips, had not been yet removed. We had been aboard since June the 10th. Due to fairly good sea, we made St. Nazaire, France, and debarked June the 26, 1917, the first combat units to serve in World War I. Now, to give you an idea of some of the things that a recruit becomes involved in, I miss the first boat drill out of Hoboken, and the corporal of the guard found me in the bottom deck, seasick, and he said, "Recruit Jones, you are to report to the company commander." He escorted me to the company commander, and me, dressed like a recruit, clothes that did not fit, and hadn't shaved, weighing 121 pounds, he said, "Go in and report to the company commander." I opened the door and walked in without rapping. Did not remove my hat. And the company commander said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Jones." And he moved some papers around on his desk for a second or two, and he said, "What did you say your name was?" I said, "Jones," again. And he said, "What the hell are you, a private, corporal, or a sergeant?" And I thought, well, I'm in the Army now, and the Army is full of soldiers, and I must be a soldier. So I said, "Sir, I am a soldier." He says, "Corporal, come and get him. He's the worst goddamn thing I ever saw." And out I went. We were in St. Nazaire a short period of time, and then we left the area for a Bainville near Gonricourt, France, and entered into trench warfare. Our instructors were the French Chasseurs d'Alpine Blue Devils. Our first tour in the trenches was in the Bas-Lamont area, 10 mile or 10 kilometers northeast of Nancy. On November 17, our 1st 16th Infantry killed in action were suffered by Company E, 2nd Battalion on November the 3rd, 1917. The enemy pulled a successful raid, and the company lost one sergeant and 10 enlisted men as POWs, and 3 were left dead in the trenches. They were Corporal Gresham of Evansville, Indiana, Private Enright of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Private Merle D. Hay of Glidden, Iowa. There is a monument at Bas-Lamont erected in their honor by the French. Our battalion, the 3rd, relieved the 2nd at the same place, 12th and 13th of November, without incident. October the 23rd, the 1st Army shot was by C Battery, 6th Field Artillery. On January the 18th, the division moved to an area near Sorcy, France, S-O-R-C-E-Y. The 32nd kilometers during that day, 18 miles, rain, snow, sleet, and no rest periods except without standing. If you did, you were sitting in water. That night, after arriving in Sorcy, we went to every place looking for eggs, red wine, and so forth. None available. Slept in barns and remained there for about 2 days. The next move was made to Anserville, 25 kilometers northwest of Toul. The Sea Spray, Bougainville area, opposite Hill Mount Sec. 60 people were killed in action and 137 enlisted men were wounded. 19 officers and 38 men were missing in action. 3 men were missing as prisoners. We were relieved by the Yankee Division, the 26th Division from Massachusetts. After that, is that still on, Les? Shut it off.
No, okay.
I think I said, we were relieved by the Yankee Division, the 26th from Massachusetts. The next sector move was into the Gisors area, northwest of Paris, about 75 kilometers. On the Montdidier-Noyon front, here about April 7th and 8th, we entered the lines. The division was rated fit to do its job, and when the lines around Cantigny was hot and lots of action. On April the 17th, we're on the road to Cantigny, the area. April the 24th, 1918, the 16th, occupied the lines with headquarters at Broyes. The 28th Infantry took Cantigny on the 28th of May. We were relieved the 28th Infantry. We had lots of lies, no water, and no clothing except what we had along in February. On January the 4th, or on July the 4th, Company L had pulled a raid. Three sections of the company were involved. Time limit, 12 minutes. We captured three prisoners, and we lost three killed in action, nine wounded, and two missing in action. While in this area, we encountered mustard gas at Villers Turnell. And not too many ever made it back to the unit. In the Cantigny area, we had a cemetery called St. Agnan. In this cemetery, the troops holding the line dug trenches inside the cemetery all the way around. Protect themselves with tombstones and whatever happened to be heavy in front. On July the 7th, we were relieved from the Cantigny area and out for a cleanup and delousing and get ready for clothing and the next go. July the 14th, Company L, 16th, represented the United States at Bastille Day in Paris. Everyone enjoyed the visit, and soon we were on our way to Soissons. On the 18th of July, the 1st Division jumped off for 5 days. 18th through the 23rd of July, and this was one of our greatest actions in the war. Relieved by the 2nd Division and the Maroc Division on the 23rd of July. By also, the relief was by the London Scottish and Black Watch. One of the Black Watch said to us when we were going in, said, "Hey Yank, where's the bloody shooting gallery?" They were from the Black Watch. Now does that cut it off for a minute? After the Soissons action, we went to the San Mihiel area and was involved there on September the 12th for 4 days, which was for us a very light action, not many casualties, but hellacious weather. It was raining every day, and the troops had to cross a small stream, which we all had to barely swim to get across. And at night, we slept on the ground with one guy in the middle and two on the outside to keep one another warm for the first 3 days. We were relieved from the San Mihiel sector in September the 11th and 12th, and moved directly by truck to the area, the Argonne Forest. In the Argonne Forest, we got involved on October the 4th, 1917 or 18. And I was a member of the advanced battalion, advanced company, and we were involved from 5 o'clock in the morning before it was daylight, and moved into the place called Exermont Flayville area in relief of the 35th Division, which had been actually chased out of the area, and we had to retake it. We lost heavy. All officers were in the battalion become casualties, and finally one officer, still wounded, took over the battalion, and he was the captain adjutant, Captain Earl Allman. We remained in the Argonne area until about the 10th of October, and then we were relieved by the 42nd Division, as I recall today, and I left for Officer Candidate School. That got me out of war.
So that's quite interesting, Duke. Now, it seems you are a member or have been a member of a number of veterans organizations. I don't expect you to remember all of them, but what are some of these organizations that you've been active in and so on down through the years? We know you've been very active in the ROA, and I noticed that he's pulling out his billfold now, and he's going through all the cards that he has there. There's a whole packet. What are some of those, Duke?
The Military Order of World Wars, Company G, 127th Infantry, 32nd Division, the Regimental Headquarters, 127th Infantry, the 5063rd Garrison Association, the 1st Infantry Division Association, the Retired Officers Association, the Old Time Ball Players Association, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion, the Air Force Association, Wisconsin National Guard Association, the Southern Wisconsin Red Arrow Club, the Association United States Army, National Association for Uniformed Services, the Veterans of World War I, the 135th Medical Regiment Association, the Jackson County Athletic Hall of Fame of Altus, Oklahoma, life member of the Reserve Officers Association, life member of the Retired Officers Association, past Commanders Club of the World War I Veterans Association, the life member of the Retreads, the World War I Last Man's Club, Red Arrow Club of Milwaukee life member, and a life member of the 32nd Division Veterans Association. I think that's enough of it.
By golly, I lost track of the count, but that's a lot of organizations you belong to, Duke, and then we sort of argue with some people, did it just belong to one or two, because especially the ROA. But I know that you mentioned you're a life member of some of these organizations, and especially of the ROA, you're a life member, and you're also a 50-year long timer of the ROA. Now, you take 50 years, and that's about 1/4 of our 200 years as a nation. What are your thoughts about these last 50 years since World War I?
Well, my thoughts about the world is that it's gaining information, better living, better everything for everyone, increasing in population, opportunities are great for everybody. And it seems to me that we've got everything in the world except some method of keeping everybody happy and keeping us from being involved in another war. I see no reason at all for us to ever be weak and let somebody take over this country. But things don't look too good.
Okay, Duke. Let's go a little further. We once had a magazine called the Wisconsin Reservist that was comparable to the National Officer magazine. Can you tell about that magazine as we produced it in those days, quite a few years
ago? Yes. When Roy, Colonel Roy Peters asked me would I become the state secretary, and would I get out the magazine? I had no idea that I'd ever be involved in it, but while I was helping Colonel Deedy get caught up, who was in the hospital, he died, and I got the job. And I, having no experience with magazines or editing or not too much education, I took the job over, and it was interesting, and I got a lot of help from a heck of a lot of good people, and I was proud of what we did get out. And the National told me in several cases and several other people that we were doing a fine job, and we did it from 1955 until May 1961 when we run out of funds.
Well, that's quite interesting. You mentioned some people's names there, and I know that you know all these people, but and you probably won't remember all of them, but who are some of the old-timers in the Wisconsin ROA?
Well, the ones that I know that were involved from before my time was Herbert P. Showalter, Roy Peters.
And of course now he's a general.
Right? Yes. Mm-hmm. General Peters, now retired.
And then we
Warrant Officer Manfred Gaskell. Stu Brokaw,
and we have Al Peter.
Al Peter, Leonard Sari. Goddamn, I can't think of these people.
Do you think? Do you think that Al Peter is probably one of the oldest?
Al oldest Peter member? Possibly is the oldest member, and he. I would say it's Al Peter or Harrison Garner, Chapter 17, Madison, probably is the oldest member. He was a state president, an early state president. And other people who were involved at that time was Joe Haig.
And Joe, I understand they're going to honor him here at this convention.
Yes, that's right. Joe Haig is a long time. Erhard Teschan, who was...
Turn it over now. Duke, if you just continue, you were talking about Joe Haig and some of the old-timers. So
One of those people that was involved in the earlier days was Steve Park, who became our only Wisconsin national president. And Erhard Teschan, a member of the Milwaukee chapter at the present time, was on the committee at the 1927 National Convention held in Milwaukee at the Elk Club.
I understand that this conference, you said 1927, this is the second time that there's been a national conference in the state of Wisconsin, and here it's being held this year at the Mark Plaza.
Yes.
And that's quite a step up, I suppose, from the Elks Club, which couldn't accommodate too many people, but...
I think they had 400 people there at the Elks Club.
Well, that's quite good. That's probably as many people as we'll have here at this. Now, another thing, if you were to give a talk to some future department convention in Wisconsin here, what would you say, especially to the young officers in ROA?
It's my opinion that the opportunity for a young officer in this association never had it an opportunity so great. There's no doubt in what the majority of youngsters coming up in the world don't want nothing to do with wars and don't want to be in the military in any sense of the word. But I cannot see how a country that is fortunate and rich and have everything that we have that can continue in this world without fighting somebody. And my advice would be to take part in the military. Be seen, be heard, be neat. Because some of them are going to get caught and they'll always gripe like hell if they get caught. And some guy they know who didn't get a college degree or something like that, he gripes because he got a college degree. The other guy is in there and he went in the guard or the reserve and became a corporal or sergeant. And all of a sudden he wakes up and he is a commissioned officer. And the other people are griping because they're not in the same grade. So my point is to become involved. You don't have to stay in your lifetime. But at least do something. Be part of it, because I'm a firm believer that if you live in this country, you're going to have to serve and you're going to have to like it.
Okay, Duke, now you retired as a bird colonel, a full colonel. What degrees do you have? What was your educational background?
My education was eighth grade. I graduated from the eighth grade in Oklahoma High School, went to the service and remained from 1917 to 1954, a period of 37 years and 2 months. The only schooling I had outside of that was I graduated from the Medical Field Service School, non-commissioned officers course in 1935. All the information I have in education I picked up in the military service, and I'm damn proud of every damn day of it.
Okay, Duke. Now, so when these kids come out and they got their degree and so on, why, there's no reason that they can't step forward and go forward and be something in the military. What?
That's my opinion. All they have to do is be sincere and work, and they can get ahead. And they don't have to stay in the military service all their lives. Just be available. And certainly some of them are going to get caught. They won't all get caught in a war. I don't know if we ever will have one in my time. But I wouldn't be I would, if I was going to bet, I'd bet that we would be involved again in a large military outfit. Whether or not we're going to have a war is a different problem. But we certainly can't run along without a military force, and it's got to be big, and it's got to be strong.
Okay, now, Duke, we don't want to prolong this too long. You're here for this conference, and I know that you need to get your rest. But one other thing, can you sort of recall some of the awards you have received, and especially those that you are most proud of?
Well, one of the awards I'm most proud of is the Silver Star Medal, which I got in World War I. This medal I have received, the second award, and wear an oak leaf cluster. And then my Legion of Merit, which I got for World War II, which took place for action in Korea and New Guinea. Bronze Star Medal I also have, which I got for action in World War II. I have campaign medals for Korea, World War I, World War II, and so forth. A number of ribbons and so forth, total 19.
Okay, Duke, now you mentioned a number of other ones. At first you talked about World War I at length. What are all the wars and actions you've been in? Run over those quickly.
I was in World War I and took part in all actions of the 1st Division except the race to Sedan. That was a period of 1917 and 18. Then during the period between, say, 1918 and 19, I was in military as an instructor of National Guard in Wisconsin. And in World War II, I was called to active duty as a captain and became the assistant adjutant general of the 32nd Division, later the provost marshal of the 32nd Division. And from the 32nd Division, I went to the 3rd Army Staff under General Kruger and picked up the job as assistant headquarters commandant and provost marshal of the 3rd Army, plus CO Special Troops, 3rd Army, and CO Special Troops, Southern Defense Command at the same time. After that, we became part of the 6th Army and went to New Guinea in the Southwest Pacific area, and I had the job as CO Special Troops, 6th Army, and later headquarters commandant, 6th Army, with Kruger in the Southwest Pacific, New Guinea and Australia. From there, I came back to the States, went to the infantry school as an instructor for 45, 46, and part of 47. After the infantry school, I was sent to Korea, became the G4, the Korea base section, stayed there 9 months and came back to the States and became the instructor organized reserves at Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. After 3 years in Wisconsin as with the organized reserves, I went to Korea again, and there I become the commander of the prisoner of war camp at Pusan from October to April. That's 1951-52. 52, I became the headquarters commandant and CO Special Troops, 8th Army, under General Van Fleet in Seoul. In that connection, at that same time, one of my unit's command jobs was the peace site at Panmunjom, which I held till 1952. 1953.
So you went through a lot of them. You never got to Vietnam, I guess.
The reason I didn't get any further along in the business, they decided that when I had over 30 years service, and was 50-some years old or older, 58 years older, that I should get the hell out. So I put in for retirement. And when I put in for retirement, they sent my retirement orders back from Washington and said, this guy can't retire because he only has 14, 16, or 17 years service. And I said to myself, well, that's pretty good. I won't say nothing about it. But in the meantime, they discovered that I had 24 years enlisted service, which was over the period of years. And so I had to get out in June the 30th, 1954, after 37 years of 2 months straight service.
Okay.
Only in jail a couple of times. I got in the finest jail in France in World War I, hard-boiled Smith's Prison, for being absent without leave from the officer candidates. That's it.
So, Duke, you've had quite a life, and I'm sure that the troops sometime in the future, if we can this thing and maybe pull it out 100 years from now, and
be something to talk about.
And something to talk about.
And I'm proud of it. And I know so many people that I've met in the service that I'm so damn proud that I know that what they did for the country, what they put up with for the country, and they're not griping and moaning about it. They take it for granted. It seems like the biggest gripers are the guys that did the least.
Well, Duke, I know that I appreciate this, and I know also that had I not been a member of the ROA for now about 30 years, that I never would have known you,
yeah.
Duke. And it's been an honor, and it's something that I'll cherish for the rest of my life, to know a person like you, as well as some of these old-timers that you've mentioned, and the national staff that's here at this conference. And we had a meeting this morning at 10 o'clock, and they're all great people.
Yeah.
No two ways about it.
I agree.